At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Greetings, travelers! Hello, hello, it is I, Erica, and I am firmly convinced that Mark got taken by X. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding, travelers, if you're listening. Actually, you could probably hear it a little bit in my voice. We got some fun con crud from Dragon Con, the Whole Airy Travels crew, and unfortunately, Mark lost the lotto of who loses his voice. So Mark's voice is presently gone. Mine is waning, but I'm troopering through. So we have an exciting show for you today anyway, so we don't need him. Just kidding. We love you, Mark. But first, I do have some breaking news. And normally Mark would go, breaking news? So here it is. There is a wonderful article today in Popular Science that says the dye in Doritos can make mice transparent. So of course I had to read this, and it turns out, I'm going to post the link to the article because it's hysterical to me, but yellow dye number 5 can apparently turn biological tissue transparent to the naked eye. So it's doing a whole different way of looking at people's abdomens and stuff like that. So it's like a very different than doing an x-ray or stuff like that. It's literally being able to see through the skin and stuff, which could revolutionize how we do medical things. So I think it's really funny that my favorite chip to eat with a cold glass of milk, and I don't want anybody to judge me on this, end results in a medical miracle. And I've often said Doritos are a medical miracle. So without further ado, well, Jake, I just have to say, who made a comment, I'm sorry, they can do what? Apparently, yellow dye number 5 can make you see through skin. Now, as a disclaimer before I bring on our amazing guests, do not go try to eat as many Doritos or yellow dye number 5 as possible. Let them experiment with it. Make sure it's safe. Make sure we can do this to humans, because I don't know how much it takes. So let's try to not do anything that's dangerous until that happens. Okay, Bo, I'm going to tell you what to do. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to bring on our two amazing guests for today. We are super lucky. Yay! Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So again, sorry, Mark couldn't be here, but let's just do a little introduction because we are so super excited to have you. So Marnie, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Everybody calls me the Nana Boss, and I do have my own YouTube channel called the Nana Boss. And I've been, you know, looking into Bigfoot and Bigfoot related things and paranormal and all kinds of crazy fun things. So I've been doing that for about 2.5 years now, but you know, Bigfoot's my favorite. He's my favorite cryptid out of everybody.
Now, there are some people that are going to be listening to this audio recording. I'm just going to say, if you get a chance, go on the YouTube if you haven't seen it, because your entire back setup is just, it's nothing short of amazingly magical. And you have this glowing Bigfoot that is just phenomenal, and I'm super jealous. So now, like, I've got a lot of ideas for how to set up my backdrop. But Marianne, will you introduce yourself?
Well, my name's Marianne, and I am a BFRO researcher from the state of Missouri. I currently lead the BFRO expeditions in the state of Missouri. And in 2025, I will be leading the expeditions in Arkansas and Oklahoma. I also am the founder of the Ozark Mountain Bigfoot Conference, and we are getting ready to have our 3rd annual Bigfoot Conference on September the 28th.
So where is that conference? Let's just do the shameless plug now. We're going to do it several times. So where is that conference?
It's in Springfield, Missouri at Relics Event Center. And if you go onto Eventbrite, you can get tickets for that. Now, that is simply the day of the conference. Now, we also, and this is how we're different from everybody else, we have a camp out with our conference. We have private property that last year we had a Bigfoot in our camp. And if people are interested in that, I still have a few spots open and they can reach out on Facebook to Ozark Mountain Bigfoot Conference and we can get them set up to do that.
Wow. So let's, okay, we got to
that's a lot to unpack, right?
Yeah, there's so much to unpack, but I have to start with there was a Bigfoot in your camp. This,
yes, ma'am.
This, is exciting and yet terrifying because camping to me is terrifying. And then knowing that a Bigfoot was in the camp. So what happened there?
Well, so there was a few things that led up to it. This was the very last day of the camp out, the last night. And we laugh. Daniel Perez put it in the Bigfoot Times that it was the perfect storm. We literally had a little storm roll through. People were having to hold their tents down. Our cook tent was demolished, and one of the ladies that was in the tent with Marty decided to sleep in her vehicle because she thought it was going to be wet, right? And somewhere after between 3 and 3:30 a.m., she was awoken, and she looked out, and she was parked right next to my husband and I, our tent. And right behind our tent, she could see it standing there looking out over the camp area. And my husband could hear it at the same time. Now, I'm dead to the world because we've camped all week. We've had a conference. I'm worn out. And the thing's standing behind my tent, and I don't know a thing about it, right? So unbeknownst, the next morning in passing, as people are going to the bathroom and getting up and moving around, just doing their thing, everybody starts talking about what they are hearing. And so finally, Marty and I go over and literally drag Shane, our tracker, out of the tent. And we're like, we think you need to come out here. He told us later, he said, he goes, I was threatening to beat you all because he said, I didn't think you had anything. And he said, I was going to be really upset with y'all. Well, he had to eat crow because we had compression tracks all around our camping area. It had made a complete circle and it stayed in the area where the grass was really tall. So he could track it completely around the whole field. And luckily, the people that were there, they all had enough wherewithal when they were hearing things to look at their phones or their watch or whatever they had, right? And we were able to track it. It made a complete circle around our whole camping area.
Yeah, because wow. the way that it's set up in this property is like it's a huge, like big kind of open field. So all of the tents are along the perimeter, like a square. And then in the center is where the cook tent and, you know, it's like where everybody goes to, you know, to eat and get stuff to drink and things. So that's in the center. So it literally just came into camp and just went all the way around the perimeter. Until somebody came out, I think it was about between 25 to 30 minutes of an encounter. Someone ended up waking up and needed to go to the restroom and they unzipped their tent and then it took off.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was a good 30 minutes. Yeah.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing. Apparently you have a fan, Cindy here.
Cindy's actually one of the crazy cook ladies that cooks for us.
Very cool. Well, that's what people kind of hope to have happen. You know, you go out so many times, I've heard, because I haven't actually gone on a Bigfoot hunt yet. And I've heard so many times people talk about going on hunts and finding nothing. Like you go and you do stuff. And not that it's not fun, but you want to have that really exciting thing happen. And sometimes it doesn't. And then instead to have this thing circling the whole entire camp, I wonder, did people not put away their Twinkies correctly?
So we had gone out there in waves last year. you know, we had some people that were out there for probably a week. And come to find out, we didn't find this out till a little bit later. The gentleman that owns the property was telling us, so he had gone to the store and bought, you know, the flats of eggs. What's in there? 24, 36, something like that. Anyway, he got two of those for his son. His son was doing chores and the son said, put them on the deck, Dad. I'll get them when I go in the house. Son forgot to get them. Comes out the next morning, one flat is completely gone. Well, you know, if you've ever bought one of those, it takes two hands to carry that, right? If a bear got it, he's going to eat it right there. There's going to be a big mess. Same thing. If coons got into it, dogs got into it, anything. So they hadn't told us about this because they didn't really think about it. I think it was the day before we were to roll out of there. They found that flat of eggs down the road in the neighbor's yard with one row of eggs undisturbed. And they were trying to tell us that the neighbor's dog did it. It's like, no, no, the neighbor's dog didn't do that.
You know, it's funny. We had a listener story a couple episodes, listener story episodes ago, and they were asking us, it was a question actually. And they said, so I have a problem. There's a Bigfoot that keeps coming and taking eggs out of the hen house and then leaving like gifts, like pottery and stuff, like leaving stuff behind. And he's like, what do we do about that? And I'm like, say thank you, get another chance. Right? There's no doing anything. I don't know what you're going to do about that, right?
No,
but,
no.
You know, be happy. They know the exchange. They're like, here are some things that we found. I'm going to take your eggs. I'm like, are they hurting your chickens? Because if they're not, maybe just be happy that they're doing tradesies.
That's all they're doing, right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. So, okay, let's go origin stories a little bit here. So Nonobos, what you said 2.5 years ago, what got you into this though? Because it's always interesting to me how people get immersed in this world.
Yeah, it's for me, I had an encounter back in 1986. It was a nighttime encounter out in the levees of in the Everglades. And, you know, that kind of always it sparked me, you know, Florida skunk ape, you know, and I knew that it didn't fit what I saw didn't fit into any other box except that.
Yeah.
And I just through the, I mean, I watched everything I could get my hands on, every documentary, every, you know, like everything I could find. And I don't know, I just ended up going on, I started watching, I think I've watched Shane Carpenter's documentary Into the 400. I don't even know how many times. I mean, I bought it, like it's my go-to. I love that. And I just fell in love with all of these amazing documentary filmmakers and researchers. And so like a lot of people, I think, in the community, I started watching Bigfoot Odyssey and Carrie Arnold. And I kind of said to my son, I was like, you know, hey, take a listen to this YouTube channel. Check this out. And come to find out, after he ends up watching a few episodes, he ends up telling me that he had an encounter when he was 8 years old that he never told me about. And I was very like kind of shocked about that. And then we end up getting to know Marie Dumont on Facebook through her Facebook page. She ends up putting a advertisement on her Facebook page to go to the Crowley Nature Museum on a Bigfoot expedition with Stacy Brown.
Oh,
so
the skunk ape, that skunk ape man right there.
That is.
Hey, Stacy, I don't know if I've told you this recently, but I have the Twilight vampires. They're still the strongest. I have to throw that out there. He's so mad about that. Anyway, moving on.
I love me some Twilight vampires, so I'm right there with you. So
I like the wolves.
Yes.
This whole conversation is going to drive Stacy nuts, so I appreciate it. Anyway, continue on.
So we end up going on this expedition. It was just a weekend. We went, you know, Friday, Saturday, and left on Sunday late afternoon, and everything happened. Everything happened. We had paranormal activity in the Tatum house. We had a UFO sighting, and we kind of all were in different groups, right? Like a group would go to the Tatum house and do a ghost hunt. And then Stacy took a few of us out, and where we went and, you know, went out looking into Mayaka, we were, you know, and we saw a UFO, and then two or three other groups saw the same UFO, but from different places. We found footprints that weekend. We heard howls. Something was tossing stuff at our tent all night long. We got that on audio. I mean, it was just off the chain. I even have video footage of something throwing a rock at me. I'm walking down the, I was walking back to camp, and I was all by myself. And there's an app that my friend and I use called Marco Polo. And it's basically video on demand, I guess, FaceTime on demand. Like, you do a video and then you send it, and then they watch it whenever they see it, right? So I'm videotaping myself, and I'm telling her, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like this awesome weekend. This is happening. And we had this, and all of a sudden it's like this big rock comes flying over my head. Like, you see it, and I go, I'm like, okay. I even have it on my channel still to this day. But we had everything happen, and that was it for us. He had, you know, it just started us on the journey. And then I had a daytime sighting back in January of 2022 in, it's kind of like Big Cypress Preserve area, but it was a daytime sighting. It was amazing. So that just, you know, really fueled me. So, yeah.
I love all of that story. I love all of it. And then, Marianne, you're apparently ruling the world here with BRFO.
Is the girl.
So, I love your Bigfoot curtains. That's amazing. I'm getting so jealous of everybody. I'm like, I have my stickers on my door, but I feel like I got to level up now. I don't even know what's going on.
My husband's going to put some shelves behind me, and then all my Bigfoot stuff is going to be behind me.
Oh, so so I can be envious of this entire setup. But
exactly. So, we'll have to come back on after the conference and tell you what happened this year.
Yes, that is definitely happening. So travelers are listening. That is happening. I might even get Stacy Brown so we can talk about Twilight with him, and then accidentally he'll go behind stage. It'll be weird. I don't know how it happened. Don't tell him I said that. He's listening.
Stacey's awesome.
Right, Stacey's now awesome. Hearing this going, what did she just say?
Stacey's awesome. I mean, I have had the pleasure of meeting like the whole crew, RPG, Stacey, you name it. Like, they're all amazing guys. And my son is very good friends with him. And it's really been fun to get to meet all of these guys who have had all these amazing experiences, you know. And Stacy took my son and I and Connor Flynn actually to Terea a little over a year ago now. And he took us to where he filmed, you know, where they got the thermal footage. Wow. So that was an amazing.
Hi, Brian. Oh, yeah. Brian's on here. Hey.
He's been on the show. Connor has. I love this community. RPG, same. But okay, Marianne, we cut you off. Besides the amazing shelves that are going up, explain your origin story. How did you get into all this?
Well, ever since I was a little kid, I've always liked the weird stuff. You know, I would spend time in the library and it was always Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, anything like that, right? And then as, you know, a young adult, I used to watch Monster Quest, all that kind of stuff. And I work in a spa, and all the girls down there know if it's weird, I'm all about it, right? So one of the girls one day was like, hey, there was a Bigfoot sighting in the county. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? You know, because at that point, I still thought they were not here.
Oh.
And I said, okay. She goes, well, go on the BFRO and look at it's probably on there. And so I'd been on before, but I'd never really got on in there and dug around, right? And I found that they did expeditions. So my poor husband, God love him, he comes home one night and I said, I want to go Bigfoot hunting. And he's like, excuse me, what? You know, I mean, I hit him with this stuff out of left field. And I said, you can go on these expeditions, and they have one in the state of Missouri. I want to go. And he's like, okay. You know, so I called, I made my reservation, you know, and we went. And it was really funny, as we're pulling in, I said, okay, these people are all a bunch of nuts, or this is going to be the best time we've ever had in our life. Right. And he's like, okay, if you say so. So yeah. Right.
I love the disclaimer because that's, I have a similar disclaimer with my husband. He's like, you're going where? And I'm like, it's a Hodak. So it's either this big or it's the size of a car. I'll be back, I think.
Right. My husband has now just figured out it's whatever. He just shakes his head and says, yes, dear. And goes right along with whatever I'm doing, you know? But so, yeah, we got there and, you know, we started to meet people, and there were some really, really nice people. And it's funny, some of these people they have become my best friends, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. And so, you know, they give us the lowdown. Okay, this is what we're going to go do tonight, you know, blah, 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 whatever, you know, and we're still like, okay, you know. And so come about 9 o'clock, they're like, go get geared up. We're going out. And I'm thinking, okay, they don't take us and show us first. I mean, you know, I have 110 questions. Plus, I'm very sarcastic when you get to know me. I mean, I'll behave tonight, but.
You don't have to because same.
I have all these things running through my head going, well, why weren't we shown this and this and this and this and this and that, you know? But anyway, so we go out to the area, and, you know, it's most of the people that are in our group, we're all newbies. We've never done this, you know? So they take us out, they're showing us stuff, they're explaining things, this, that, whatever. So finally about midnight, we have all met back up, all the groups, everybody disperses again, and we're still in our same group. We've walked down this road, and the gentleman that's leading the group's like, hey, let's just jump off here and let's just go sit in the woods. Okay, that's fine. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, it's a full moon. You don't ever see these things on a full moon. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I won't go through the expletives that were running through my head, because I'm thinking, you dragged us out here on a full moon and you don't see these on a full moon, and we're supposed to be out here, you know, anyway. So we sit down, and I'm having to, you know, digress from this, because I'm thinking to myself, well, this is ridiculous. You know, why are we out here on a full moon then? And so the girl that's sitting next to me, I decide to focus on her, and she's all camoed out, camo pants, camo hoodie, the whole bit, right? She pulls that hoodie up, and she like snuggles down, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, if I was to walk up on her, I couldn't see her, you know? And I'm kind of fixated on that. Right. And as this is going on, there's a group of 10 of us. That's how many were there. And we had all kind of sat down in kind of an oddly shaped circle, but we're all sitting down. And some of the gentlemen are talking amongst themselves about how many of us are there, who's sitting where. And about this time, they decide there's one too many. And at that point, they jump up and move toward what they have deemed to be the odd man out. And when they do that, everybody else jumps up and is standing there. And this, you know, for lack of a better word, entity basically rolls over the berm and runs away. And they're all... they're all losing their minds. Well, my husband and I are standing there, and there's a younger girl standing next to me, and we're just watching because we didn't see any of this, right? We're listening to them discuss what had happened, what they saw. And as we're standing there, we start hearing this like slapping, this noise behind us. And this poor little girl, she looks at me and her eyes are huge. And I kind of looked at my husband, and he said, you know, he's like acknowledging he's hearing it too. So at that point, I turn around, I take, you know, I don't know, 4 steps back. I'm looking, and it steps out. It's probably 25 yards from us, and it's just standing there. Now, it is a full moon. You cannot see the facial features on this, but it is an upright, bipedal, hairy mass standing out there looking at us. Wow. And it was it had stepped completely out from the tree, and then it would step completely to the other side of the tree. It made no bones about being seen. It wanted the attention on it, because I believe what was sitting with us was a young one. Now, we can't decide if it was sitting there when we walked in and it didn't move, or did it come in as we all came in and sat down and just integrated in with us? We don't know. So at this point, I reach out to the person that is leading the group. My husband's like, hey, you might want to come over here and look at this. Well, he was so worked up over what had just happened, he couldn't focus long enough to see what we were talking about standing out there. Well, as we're trying to, you know, get him focused in so he can see it, there's another one that moves off to the side.
Wow.
So at that point, he's like, we're being surrounded. We got to go. And I'm like, no. This is what we're here for. This is what we're here for, you know. And basically at that point, I was told that if I didn't leave the woods willingly, they were going to drag me out. And oh, I was like, fine, I will leave. I'm thinking that's what we're there for. But anyway, so as we walked out, it followed us. You could hear it following us. And we got back onto the road. And as we're walking back to one of the groups, one of the other members of the other group was standing up on the little grade that we were walking up to, and they were therming, and they're like, hey, you left somebody standing down there in the road. And we're like, no, we didn't leave anybody. And they're like, well, but no, really, there's somebody standing down there. And we're like, no, we know exactly what that is. And so they had one of the largest guys who's like 6'6" go down there. And it was enormous compared to him. You know, they kind of did a comparison on it. And I think they decided that, you know, it was roughly 8 feet, you know, somewhere around 8 feet tall. And we went back the next day to go out there and look around in the daylight. And my husband found a track in the mud hole. And we've got pictures of it. Somebody tried to cast it, and it didn't do well because there was too much water in the hole, but we got pictures of it. And so when you went in there, I was standing up on the berm where we had been sitting. And when you looked where we were sitting, that whole area was matted down, like it was a very large bedding area. And if you turned around and looked the other direction, there was all kinds of like little sprouts and trees and, you know, so it was like there was a very big contrast from the area that, you know, we had been sitting in to the rest of the forest.
It's interesting because I've heard people say, especially with young ones, right, that the young ones tend to not be walking. Like, I kind of wonder if that's where they were all sleeping and the young one was just like, yeah, and just sat there until it got scared off by being approached. And then the adults were like, hey, you need to leave because you're like in our sleeping area.
Yeah.
You're in the nursery.
In your bedroom, you know?
Yeah, you literally just came into our bedroom. We were doing nighty nights. You need to go.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my very first expedition. My very first night out, I had a Class A sighting. It was the trifecta.
So I'm so curious to know, we're going to have to take a break in a second, but I have a question on what would have been the outcome if none of that happened. But let's be quiet for 1 second because we got to enter a commercial break.
Most know Florida as the land of endless sunny beaches, but the state is home to numerous eerie legends and mysterious creatures. The Everglades is home to the elusive skunk ape. In Key West lies an uncanny doll reputed to have a life of its own. Join Mark Muncy and illustrator Carrie Schultz as they uncover the history behind the state's creepiest stories and unusual locations. The Dark Side of the Sunshine State, presented in Eerie Florida, from History Press.
Okay, Don. So what would you have done, do you think, both of your stories are so phenomenally amazing, but I kind of wonder, if you've gone on this, because they don't sound like the greatest Bigfoot guides in the world, and you sat out there and nothing happened all night, except for, oh, they don't come out on the full moon, sorry, you know, like, Would you have been like, eh, I'm not doing this again?
You know, I don't know at that point. I mean, if I'd have had absolutely nothing happen, I mean, absolutely nothing, I probably would have had a hard time getting my husband back out there. But after that, the next day I looked at him, I said, I'm hooked. We're doing this. I'm doing this. And the thing about it is, and I don't know, so 90% of the time when we go out, we have stuff happen. One of the guys calls me a Bigfoot magnet.
She is.
You know, I don't know if it's me. I don't know. But I mean, there have been very, very few times that we haven't had things happen. And I mean, we've had paranormal stuff happen. And is it because of Bigfoot? I don't know. But we're out there looking for Bigfoot. You know, we've had a couple of different times we've had orbs, you know, things like that. But I can't imagine. I would be doing some kind of Bigfoot somehow, somewhere, eventually, if I hadn't had what I had happen.
That makes sense. I'm just curious because you guys both had such like just phenomenal stories. And I think it's interesting you said the paranormal thing, because before we all came on, I was talking a little bit to the Nonaboss about the fact that I'm newer into this community. I come from a horror, I'm haunting, which kind of background, not the cryptid creatures background. And so I've gotten into this with Mark, right? And I think it's really phenomenal, though, how weird the community, like, I think in general, the community is phenomenal. But I've seen these very, like, dig in their heels people that, like, none shall pass. And, like, this is an ape and nothing else. And I always think to myself, I go, this is all preternatural. That's the word me and Mark use. Like, we don't know what that, we don't have it. We haven't studied it. We can't, nobody is like a ex, you know what I mean? Like, You can't go around going, I know better than anyone. Do you have one in your basement? Is there something you're not telling us? Because otherwise.
There is nobody out there who has all the answers. And if you're listening to someone who says they have all the answers, run for the hills. Because they're scamming you, because ain't nobody got all the answers. I'm going to tell you that right now. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I have had a lot of paranormal things happen to me in my life prior to me searching on the real, you know, researching and looking into Bigfoot. But then again, being out there researching Bigfoot, have I ran into a lot of paranormal things that happened out there? Heck yes. I'm not going to lie about that. I mean, I have. I mean, I've just seen weird stuff. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like that chicken and the egg, right? Which comes first? I don't know, Bigfoot or paranormal, but I think it all exists. But I think everybody kind of needs to be on their own journey. And I think that all of us are on our own journey. And, you know, some people don't, in my opinion, some people don't want to look at anything else other than what they already know. You know, paranormal is encompassing of everything. It's not just a ghost, right? So
exactly. We also talk about, which I think is great, Marianne, that you're on, is reporting. So yes. Not about, you said yourself you had an experience, your son had experience, those didn't get reported necessarily to some place, because part of our research into this whole entire thing, and I say our research, everyone in the community is reporting exactly what you saw. Did you see orbs? Did you see a UFO? Did you see these things that went with it? Because if you just go, no, I only saw a Bigfoot, and you don't report the wisps or all these other things that people talk about encountering when they're out there in the woods with these creatures, right? I think it doesn't help the understanding and exploration as to where these things
agreed
from and stuff like that. So
agreed. I mean, when I had my sighting, my first sighting back in 1986, I had no idea that the BFRO,
BFRO didn't come into existence until I think the early 90s.
Early 90s. Okay. And not only that, nobody believed me. Even the handful of people I told, they didn't believe me. And so I didn't say anything except, you know, whenever we would take the kids out camping or whatever, we would always be like, stay around camp because that's, you know, because skunk ape's going to get you. Don't leave your tent, because if you leave your tent in the middle of the night, the skunk ape is going to get you. I mean, as if, you know, I mean.
I love that it's going to get you. I love that you made the skunk ape into the boogie monster.
I did. I absolutely did. Because, you know, listen, whether they were out there or they weren't, because we used to go out in the, you know, like way out in the Everglades. And I knew, because I had seen it. But how do you tell your kids you saw something super scary like that? You know what I mean?
No, it's true, but I lived in Florida for a long time, so I could talk about the hordes of boar and the gators, which I will take skunk ape over those any day.
Oh my God, right? Yes. Skunk ape, definitely. The snakes. I'm not going down there for the snakes.
No. I feel like, you know, I feel like the Florida Everglades are almost going back to a prehistoric time. Yeah. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm good. You know, what I always say is people are like, oh, the boar. And I show them pictures of these boar next to dumpsters, and they're the size of the dumpster. And I'm like, yes, you can apologize to me and Robert Baratheon right now that these are dangerous things. So let's talk. Mariam, when did you get involved with the BRFO?
Well,
BFRO. Oh, my gosh. I'm using all the letters wrong. It's fine.
Sorry. We know what you mean. Let's pretend I didn't do that. I became technically what year is it?
I think it's 2024, at least. Yeah, so 2024.
I've only been actually doing the BFRO part for a couple of years now. There was a lot of things that went on, and basically I was kind of dropped into it and figured out how to swim on my own. And from there, I became the expedition leader, and in the last few months have decided, oh, well, the state of Missouri is not enough. Let's go to Arkansas. Let's go to Oklahoma. But the BFRO is very lacking in, we don't have enough people to cover all the states, all the things that are coming in. So like Arkansas doesn't have anybody that leads expeditions, you know. And there are a slew of reports from down there. Now, I know Oklahoma used to have people like Matt Pruitt used to do them down there, but he no longer does that. So, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, can I? I'll do it, you know. And of course, yeah, I got to do it.
If somebody wants to get involved in this organization, like I've never even had this topic come up, but if somebody wanted to get involved in the organization, what should they do?
First of all, you need to go on a BFRO expedition, because if it's a good expedition, they're going to teach you a lot of things you need to know. And you need to go on a couple of those and get to know the people that are leading the expedition, because that the only way that you can get in is if you are invited in. When you go on these expeditions, for lack of a better term, you're proving yourself. They're looking for people that can go out there and record the data, that can find the tracks, that can cast the tracks. And everybody has their own kind of niche. You know, some people are all about the tracks. Some people are all about recording the sounds. Some people are just all about boots on the ground. They're out all the time. And different states have different needs. But that's one of the things right now, is just they're just not enough investigators. You know, when I got started on it, there's a backlog of reports that nobody's investigated yet. So I'm investigating reports that are a little bit older. And right now I'm so excited. I took a report. Oh, you don't understand. I'm like, it's all I can do to sit still right now.
I'm really excited. Let's do this.
Saturday night, I pulled a report off the flats of a gentleman shooting at a Bigfoot here in the state of Missouri, two counties over. I was immediately on the phone calling him. He didn't answer. And I'm like, crap, you know, next day I'm on the phone calling him again. He's still not answering me. Third day I'm emailing him, you know, finally, gosh, what was it? I worked Tuesday. He calls me in the middle of the day and I'm at work and I can't answer it, you know? So I'm like texting him going, I really want to talk to you. Can I call you later? You know, and call him later, nothing. So finally he did call me today and I spent 45 minutes talking to this gentleman. And after talking to him, I believe he did it. I believe he did it. I believe what he saw, and he has agreed to take me to the spot.
So he shot it or shot at it?
He shot it at least one time. He shot at it a total of 3 times.
Wow.
And he's afraid to go back into the woods at this point. And this is, you know, a gentleman that's been raised in the woods. And, you know, his biggest thing is, I need answers. I need to know what I saw. What was that? You know, so that's very exciting. I mean, I got off the phone and I'm like a little kid in a candy store, you know, because I'm talking to, you know, a couple of other BFRO investigators here in the state. And I'm like, have you ever taken a report of one being shot? They're like, not in this state. That's a first. I mean, we have a long way to go. We have a long way to go because, you know, you basically, and I really hate it that it's this way, but you have to figure out first and foremost, are they lying to you?
You know, it's interesting because perception is reality to people, right? How they're perceiving things is their reality. And that's why a lot of people don't realize, I mean, law and order makes it seem like eyewitness accounts are great, but they're not. They're pretty absolutely terrible, right? Because everybody, like you can get all three of us seeing the same thing and we're going to have different versions of what we saw, right?
Now, exactly.
Depending on how close together, right? There's somebody who's noticed your absence, my friend. But that, you know, it's always interesting to hear accounts of what people are doing. That's why we always go, when people talk about things, we utilize reporting websites to go, did anybody else see anything similar in the area at the same time, right? Because lighting changes things, all of that. So I get why it's important to look, but to me, it's just as important for people to report, even if it's something that happened in the past, because you have no idea if other people reported the same thing and it can kind of confirm something happened in the area, right?
Right.
And it's so funny how many people have told me that they think Bigfoot is just like a up in the, you know, Pacific Northwest thing. And I'm like, I've heard more about Bigfoot through the Appalachians and in Florida and like, this is not just, now I get why they might not be in the desert, but that's because climate and nothing lives in the desert, right?
Right.
So, wow, that's fascinating. I'm going to just say, I hope he didn't injure the Bigfoot. I'm throwing that out there because it's a bad idea. Unless you're in a life or death situation, totally get that. But let's not shoot it.
The caliber of gun that he had, he would have had to have known the exact spot. It was a knee-jerk reaction because he believed it was charging him. And I said to him, I said, okay, you know, I mean, and I was questioning him, asking him things that he'd already stated, you know, and the gentleman that I'm working with, he's a retired law enforcement. So, you know, I get off this call and I go right to him and I'm telling him verbatim what this gentleman has been telling me. And he goes, that matches. Yep. That's right. Because, okay, I know what a shotgun is. I know what a rifle is. I know what a handgun is. Can I tell you all the differences? No, I can't. And when you're rattling off, well, it was, you know, a 220 or a 30-06 or what? Okay, I know that means they're different, but I can't tell you the nuances. So I'm telling this to my law enforcement friend. And he's like, that's right. That's what you would use for that. That's right. So there's a lot of things about this gentleman's story that are adding up, you know? So at this point, he has agreed to take some of us out there and we're going to go explore it here in the near future and just see, you know, what we find, because this happened in July. It happened very recently.
That's exciting. I'm excited for you. And I love when somebody tells a story and you go, yes, this makes sense. Yes, what you're saying does. Because for me, I think it's quite fantastical sometimes, the stories you go, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know about what you're saying right there.
Yeah, there's a few things, you know, and I have learned to really go with my gut on those things. You know, when I'm listening to people and I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, nope, next, you know. And this gentleman, you could hear that he was very distraught about what he had experienced. You know?
When you're talking to someone who's telling you about their encounter, and I don't even mean to sound or make it sound as if it's really the Sasquatch or the Bigfoot that caused the trauma. A lot of it is just the trauma is coming from, number one, you're trying to figure out what it is you're seeing, what it is you're looking at, because it doesn't fit any of the boxes that you know and have in your mind. So that's like trauma kind of layer one. And then you're trying to assess, do I flee? You know, do I run? Do I stand my ground? What do I do? Because now I'm terrified because I don't know what this thing is and it doesn't fit in a box. And the people that have the real trauma, you can tell the difference from the grifters and the fakers and the hoaxers. You really can, because that trauma and that fear, it comes from someplace very, very deep. But usually I think once somebody has an encounter, one of two things will happen. Either it sets them on a path of like a journey, learning more about it, or they shut it out, shut it down, don't discuss it and keep it to themselves and suffer in silence. One of the things I just want to really quickly say, one of the reasons why I love these amazing conferences that are around the country, the small ones, the medium-sized ones, the big ones, is because it gives a place for all of these people to come and fellowship with people who have already been there and seen that and done it same as them. And they can kind of talk and fellowship and they can learn more and feel comfortable in an environment where they don't have to feel ridiculed or judged. And I think it's a great place for people to start if they don't know where else to start.
I agree with you. And I love that part of the community. And that's why I think it's mm-hmm. important, especially when you're an opinion leader, like you lovely ladies are in the community, to not negate parts of people's experiences, even if it's mm-hmm. not the one you had, right? Because there are some where lighting and all sorts of stuff. And then I have a really fun question for you guys, but I think it's so important that those of us in this community give a place where people can talk about what they saw. You don't have to agree with everything they said, but that's in their reality, right? What they saw, right? Yes. And I think too, you know, a lot of times we, you know, being out, I think some people, you know, somebody mentioned not all experiences are bad and have trauma, but I can also see, depending on the experience, but it's very similar to when the first time, like I moved to North Carolina from Florida. So I already had my gator trauma. I watched one run up a tree one time. It was terrifying. Like I will never go in the water again in Florida ever again. Pools included. Forget that. It's terrifying. But I live on a mountain now. And I learned there's a bear family that also lives on this mountain. Oh, and I learned that because it decided to eat my trash with its whole little family collective. And I walked outside and there are four bears.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, well, that's the size of the hood. And me and my husband, we like stepped out. And then I was like, I started pushing back into him. And I'm like, that's a bear. And I shut the door because I was like, okay, well, now there's one in real life. Like, what do I do about this bear being there? And I don't know that there was trauma, but there was definitely like, I'm usually a fight in the fight or flight mode. And in that moment, I was like, I have no idea. I'm just going to shut the door.
You're like, the quiet car
alarm. And hopefully, and it did scare them off, right? I hit the car alarm. And then I ended up building, I call it my trash closet, because I had to build a whole, it kept wrecking trash cans. And so I built a bear-proof trash closet. But I was like, this thing was, and it was a black bear, so it wasn't even a grizzly and stuff like that. This thing was huge. And so I totally get it. You know what I mean? Yes, that's true. I didn't tell Bo about the bear family. And it's okay. It's fine. You'll be fine. Just eventually you'll run. But I have a question for you guys, because we're talking about Bigfoot and all that, and there are different varieties of Bigfoot, so there's that. But what about other cryptids? Have you guys run across other cryptids in these hunts?
I have not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a territory thing with the animals, right? Or the creatures, I should say.
I don't. Okay, so here in Missouri, we have what they call Momo, the Missouri monster. It's Bigfoot, you know. They call him Blue Man, Momo, Bigfoot. I'm sure there's some others. We also have what they call the Ozark Howler. It's supposed to be I've heard a couple of different things. People sometimes will call that Bigfoot. It's not. It's supposed to be some big cat. Well, I'm not real sure. I mean, we do now have mountain lions a little more here in the state of Missouri. It possibly could be that. In the area we live in, we have stories about hellhounds, the big black dogs, you know. I mean, we have those things, but when we're out, I've never experienced anything short of orbs. You know, we have experienced orbs multiple times on multiple, expeditions.
And I have never seen an orb. That's the one thing I'd love to see, but I've never seen an orb.
My husband has seen him a couple of times, and he is the resident skeptic to this day about all of it. You know, everybody's like, how can you live with her and be the resident skeptic? But he's very logical. He needs to see it for himself. Now, he's heard things. He's seen tracks. You know, he's experienced things. Now, he's seen the orbs. Because he just looked at me like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And I'm just like nodding my head going, yeah, you are. You know,
I think it's good though to have a skeptic. And my other half is that way too. Not that he's not negative. He's not, well, this is all dumb. But he's just like, you know, let's see it. But then certain things have happened, right, from a paranormal standpoint. And he goes, okay, so this is a fun story. And I'm like, well, logically it could be this or it could be ghost. You know, like, I don't know. You know, it could be anything. Like, you never know what it is, right? So I think that's interesting, though, that, and I'm kind of wondering, and then when I have you back on the show, you're going to be like, Erica, we saw a dog man.
I will tell you that, have I experienced other things that, I mean, I was in the North Georgia mountains a couple of years ago, and that experience was totally crazy because there definitely were Bigfoot there, but we also had missing time. It was me, my son, and Jessica Jones, the cryptid huntress. Yeah, that was a wild night. That was a crazy, crazy, crazy experience. And it was the first time, talk about crazy things. I can't say it was the first time. It was one of the times where, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, I'm not sure how much to share. I was trying to communicate mind speak, and I had successfully done it in other places. And that particular night, it was a no-go, but I knew exactly what they were doing and thinking and feeling. It was like they were conveying how they were feeling to me, but not necessarily speaking with me and having a conversation. It wasn't a back and forth with them, but the whole experience was wild, you know? So there are strange things that do happen out there, but have I actually come across other cryptids? No.
This is not the first thing that comes to mind when we talk Bigfoot, but was I in the woods? No. So I had came home one day, and I live in an older house and it has very tall windows, right? And I had came in from work straight to the back of the house where my bathroom is at, right? And the way our yard lays out is it slopes gently. So even if you're standing in the backyard and you were to try to see in the bathroom windows, all you see is the ceiling because of the angle, right? So I have no curtains on the windows on the back side of the house because I have a very beautiful backyard. It's pretty. I like to be able to see out. So come home, I sit down to go to the bathroom and look out the window, and the only way that I can describe this to you, and I did not tell anybody about this for months because I was in total shock. So the movie, the Predator movies.
Oh yeah.
Okay. When you see it and you see that shiny translucent, that was walking through my neighbor's backyard. Ooh. And I'm like, what? And I'm just sitting there going, my brain couldn't process it. So I finish my business and I go and sit down in my living room, and my mother comes along and she says, what are you doing? And I'm kind of look at her funny and I'm like, what? And she's like, you're like sitting in the corner, and she's like, you're not watching anything. You're like, just not here. And I'm like, oh, okay. I couldn't process it. I didn't tell anybody either, because I kept going, what? And so I'm able to listen to podcasts a lot at work. And after that happened, I started getting, these podcasts were coming up with people talking about the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not okay with this.
Mary, it's extremely unnerving when you come up against something that you just are like, I don't know what this is. I mean, it was a very strange, like I said, this particular night in the Georgia Mountains, there were some things that I had never, I'm actually able to read energy. Okay. Going on this journey, I've had, one of the things I've definitely been able to do is begin to reading energy. And in learning how to do that, there was something that I encountered that night on that mountain that was so strange, because usually when you think of energy, right, it's either like a light energy, right, or like a dark energy. It's kind of like one or the other. This thing was neutral. I don't know what the hell it was, but I don't want to be around anything that's neutral because I don't trust it. Like, if it's like a dark energy, okay, I got you. I know where you are. I know where I stand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something that's neutral, and the way it was very, it was almost as if I knew it had an energy to it, but it had literally no signature. I know that sounds weird, but I didn't know what the hell it was. So when you come up against something, you have literally no idea. So I get you, Marianne. I would have been like,
It was probably about 4 or 5 months later, a couple of the guys that we Bigfoot with and my husband, we're all sitting at the dining room table because we're getting ready to leave the next morning to go to the Kaimichi Mountains with Shane. And we're sitting there eating, and I blurt this out, and they all like put their fork down and just look at me. They're like, what? And I had just blurted it out. I didn't have any intention. It came out, and they're all just kind of looking at me, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, they don't think I'm nuts now, you know? And I said, I don't know what to do with it. I have to talk about it now.
I love that you said that. I'm glad that you said you have to talk about it, because I think it's important. I just wish more people were understanding of those communications. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, because, you know, a lot of people tell you, oh, well, you know, whatever, you know, and it's like, no, I know what I saw. You know, it got my attention. I saw that walk through my neighbor's yard, you know. If I was going to make stories up, that's not the story I'd make.
Right.
And that's the other thing, because it's not like it necessarily had an interaction with you or whatever. It was doing whatever mission it was doing. And I think for a lot of people, and this is true, I find a lot with hauntings and experiences, whether it's fae or spirits or whatever you believe it is, right? Is I feel like a lot of times stuff gets ignored because your lizard brain, whatever you want to call it, goes, nah, that just fell down. It's fine. Yes. Right. And sometimes it is just fell down, but when it just falls down every single day, you kind of got to go, you know, but people go, nope, it can't be, you know, anyway, I love what both of you amazing women are doing, because I think that it is so vital to this community and the paranormal community at large that you both are here and doing the things you're doing, because it gives all these people an opportunity to have their experience validated and have experiences, right? Because all these things are so different. But we've actually gone over time, so let's plug this one more time, my friends. Plug, plug, plug.
The Ozark Mountain Bigfoot Conference is in Springfield, Missouri at the Relics Event Center. It is September the 28th, and that is the day of the conference. The speakers are Brian Sharp King, Richard Kreider, Jason Kinsey, Wayne Thoreau, Shane Carpenter, and Richard Taylor.
Robert Kreider, right?
Yeah, Robert Kreider. All those people are going to be there and speak that day. All those people are also going with us on the camp out. So that's the part of the camp out, you know, you get days of one-on-one time with the speakers. We take you to private property. It is primitive camping, but we feed you twice a day. We've got porta potties and we've got running water. And you get to be boots on the ground with some of these big people in the Bigfoot community.
You learn a lot.
What else could possibly happen?
All kinds of things can happen out there.
Or if you're like Marianne, you will sleep through the entire epic Bigfoot experience.
Well, that's why we're doing the conference first thing this time.
I didn't sleep through the last one, and I don't plan on sleeping through this one either, because I know we're going to have another one.
Marty and I are going to go up and sit in the sassafras bushes, because we're going to be squatch bait this time.
We're going to be squatch bait.
Well, I think that between the two of you that it's going to happen, because you both apparently are magnets. So bringing the two of you together is like lightning in a bottle. So I'm really so excited for this hunt for you guys. This is so amazing. And you're going to come back on after this. And I want to hear all of the stories from this event. Okay. I cannot wait. I'm sad that we're going to be at another event that weekend. Otherwise, because now I'm all excited about this and yet terrified at the same time. I'm going through this like emotional rage of like, let's go do this. And then I'm like, no, I'll be at camp making s'mores. Like, it's very hard. It's what it's.
We would let you do that if that's what you wanted to do. You can stay in camp and we'll come back and tell you about what happened.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. The next year I am there, I will bring such a smorgasbord. And then I will just sit with my foghorn. So whenever happens to me, because that's what will happen, because I'm like, I don't want anything to happen. Then it's like, and Bigfoot will come sit across and have s'mores with me. It'll be weird.
I just really quick before we go, I just want to thank all of our supporters over there in chat. Gary, Jean, Cindy, yeah. Brian Barber, Matt popped in, my son for a little bit. Thank you guys for being here to support us as well. And Gary, I'm going to see you soon. Cindy, I'm going to see you soon.
Brian, why are we not seeing you?
He said he's going to try and make it next year.
All right. I'm going
to
hold
him to my scores. It'll be good. He'll be there.
See? Exactly. Exactly.
So how do people find you guys, though? Marianne, how do people locate you?
They can find anything that we're doing outing-wise on the Ozark Mountain Bigfoot Conference. It's on there. Or if they want to go with us for the BFRO stuff, you go to bfro.net. And they can sign up for anything that we have going on there. Currently, the only thing going on that is the Fall Missouri Expedition, which is October the 10th through the 13th. But after the first of the year, the Arkansas and Oklahoma and Missouri stuff will all be up and going. And they are more than welcome to come and go with us on that.
Very cool. And Nana Boss, where do people find you?
My YouTube channel, The Nana Boss.
Okay.
That's it.
Yay. Easy. So thank you both again for being here. Again, I'm sorry Mark had lost his voice and couldn't be here, but it's awesome because this was epic. All girl chat. What?
Girls night.
And as he would say, travelers out there, absolutely remember to one, take somebody with you, two, go out on some of these adventures. If you see something, say something. And do not forget, report, report, report. We need it. And hopefully late at night out in the woods, you'll look over and what you thought was a shadow next to you will get up and move. And with that, we'll see you on the other side.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.